So here he is, on the road again. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spends lots of time on the road. The road to Jerusalem, setting his face, he goes, and this, as we hear today, he's determined to head towards that city, and that the narrative in the Gospel of Luke takes up almost a third of the Gospel, on the road to Jerusalem. He takes his followers with him, and the road becomes a teaching place, a place where they learn who he is, what he's about, but also who they are as followers, as he guides and teaches them. "Walk with me," he says. "Watch me. Do as I do." Then he sends them out on their own. They go out and do and come back. And let's talk about it. This is the rabbi teacher Jesus at work. This is the classroom of learning discipleship on the road. What is Jesus teaching? How to live in the kingdom of God, where to see the Holy One, what love of God is like in the flesh, in relationship. In this instance, the first lesson is he happens when he sends messengers out to find him a place to stay. And the Samaritan village that they go to rejects them, doesn't have a place for them, sends them away, does not want to hear from them. And here is lesson number one. The disciples take a very loyal attitude in defense of their teacher. "If you aren't for us, you must be against us. Let's line up against the enemy. Should we send down lightning and incinerate this village? Get rid of them." And now Jesus must know that this is one of the best ways to build a strong group, is to have a common enemy. He easily could have said, "Of course, if they're not with us, they're against us." For there is nothing like hate to bind people into one identity. We're not like them. We're us. Jesus doesn't go this way. He has many opportunities to go this way, for he himself is rejected time and time again. And as he nears Jerusalem, the rejection will get more painful and deeper, the tensions higher. But he's not interested in forming a fan club. He isn't building an army that needs to defend him. He does not want to be the leader who has power over others and pits his people against the world. He wants to spend his energies living in the animation of the Spirit of God. He wants to preach that God is with us here, now. He wants to show the healing power, the freeing power of God's presence. And he wants to invite people into this mission of love. No, it is not a common enemy that unites them. It is the unity and the energy of being on the road together that unites them. Jesus models a way through rejection for his followers, For he does not spend his life energy reacting to those who reject him. He sets his face where he needs to go, where God calls him to go. This is where he goes. Those who walk the road with Jesus are to be formed and molded by the love of Christ at their center. They're to be shaped by the Spirit of love. They live lives responding to God's love in gratitude, a love that brings the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, gentleness, self-control. They're not living in reaction to those who reject them, in judgment, with their defenses up. No, they're to leave behind the things that deter them from love. This first lesson is one asking great maturity of the followers of Jesus. He asks them to work through their feelings and to be people of love in a new way. Next week, the lessons of the gospel, Jesus sends 70 out to go stay in homes and villages. Some will be welcomed and some will not. But they are to offer peace to each household that they go to. And if their peace is rejected, they are to shake the dust off their feet and move on. Move on. Get on the road again. Keep moving. Keep the focus on mission. Keep the focus on love. There is a sense of urgency in this. Don't get bogged down building lives on the defensive. Go out lightly bearing the gentleness of grace. In the midst of this urgency, there comes a second lesson. For while he's on the road, there are those who want to join him, and there are those that he invites to join. Why then, you may ask, doesn't he let a person bury his own father before he comes to follow Jesus? Isn't this what God wants us to do? To take care of others and to honor those things that have gone before us? Or what about the one who wants to straighten out things at home? Doesn't God want us to set things right? Doesn't Jesus want us to be committed to these things? Committed, yes. But there is that sense of urgency. There is the sense that there is a love that Jesus is calling us to that does not stand still. In the passage in another translation, he says, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Love keeps moving on. Jesus doesn't want his followers to get bogged down in perfectionism when there are so many who can be touched and changed by imperfect, messy love. He doesn't want followers to get so caught in grief and the loss of the past that they cannot see the gift of the present that is freshly given by God each and every moment. Jesus wants his followers to be ready for what is before them, not ensnared by what has gone on before. He knows we often use our busyness, and our concerns and our commitments as excuses to avoid the call of love. We keep trying to make ourselves acceptable, to prove ourselves righteous and okay, as if we are the ones who make ourselves worthy for God's love. Jesus is saying, leave it. Leave the things that you think you have control over. These have you bound. And the Spirit of God, believe it or not, offers freedom. Who are we really trying to fix as we hold back? Not the world as much as ourselves. Because deep down we fear that we're not enough for God. Jesus assures us that in God's grace there is enough to make all things right. The Apostle Paul says this to the Galatians in this section of his letter that we heard today. He's saying, live freely, animated, motivated by God's Spirit. Go down the road of love. Invite the gifts of God's Spirit into your life and see how life changes. We get eaten up by trying to satisfy our own demands for life. We come to dead ends, dry bones, empty hearts, barren existence. God offers us a road of love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, self-control, a pathway to a life of abundance. Yes, there is rejection. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is loss. Keep walking. There is love. There is life. And where do we begin? And this is lesson number 3. Luke's gospel says, pray. Pray and invite the Spirit of God into your life, because every time people pray in Luke's gospel, the Spirit comes. Martin Luther in the Large Catechism presents an image of prayer that I carry with me always. He says, prayer is like putting on a huge apron with an enormous pocket, as big as you can imagine. Open up this apron, open up this pocket to receive the abundance of the Spirit of God. This is prayer. Receiving the gifts of God. I imagine Jesus on the road inviting followers to leave their excuses behind, start walking the road, wearing aprons with huge pockets ready to receive the abundance that God has to offer, and then reaching into those pockets and sharing with others along the way. For the way of freedom is sharing the gifts of God, freely given and freely given away. So let's get on the road and not let rejection stop us. Let's get on the road and not get stuck in getting ready and trying to be enough. Let's get on the road and not get ensnared by grief for that which is already dead. Let's get on the road with open hands and hearts and pockets ready for the gifts that God has to bring. It is Christ who invites us, who says, "Follow me." Christ paves the way in grace freely given. God in Christ leads the way and walks alongside us. Yes, us. We are enough. So yes, let's get on the road again. Thanks be to God.